Welcome back to the Dane and Josh Show, sponsored by Milk for Health. We have a very special guest, Chef Darian. He'll be coming up next.
Our guest today, he's featured on ESPN, CBS, Food Network. He's a private chef for pro athletes, a man of many hats, all right? Plating Society owner and Brad's Hill owner as well. Somehow he found his way onto our show. My brother, appreciate you coming on. Welcome, Chef Darian.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me, man.
Of course.
How are things?
Things are good, man. Just grinding. Just doing what I do every day, man. Just changing life through food.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I like that.
Man, it's funny because we were talking about before, and you always come through in a fly outfit. So I love the pink and the hat and everything.
Yes, sir.
So dope to always see us. My man over here decided he was gonna pop on his hat too. I think I missed the memo. I should have put on mine.
Where do you get your hats and suits?
You know what's crazy? Adrian Jules, they're a Rochester company, but they just moved to Buffalo. They have a location in Village Import right now. So they make all my suits for me and all my chef uniforms too. So
where do you come up with the ideas of the colors and everything like that? Like,
you know, he always send me these fabrics. Like, yeah. Guess what I got today? I'm like, sure, just make me a suit from that.
Yeah.
Like with the chef uniform too. I've done it. You've probably seen a few of them on Instagram here and there.
Yeah.
You would get new fabric and it's like, yo, this would be cool in a chef coat, you know what I mean? So I'm like, go ahead, make it. So he's the one I always like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? No pressure. I'm like, go ahead, just do your thing.
that's unreal, man. And I mean, obviously, you know, you got so many different outfits and it's sick to watch. And, you know, I've been to the Plating Society and watching you do your thing and you always got the fly coat on and everything.
You kind of have to, though. Like, for me, I'm a showman, I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
I'm a chef though, you know what I mean? So for me, like being in front of people every day, I gotta dress a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that I don't wanna be the average chef.
Yeah.
That's why I'm taking the chef from the back of the house to the front.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why should I be locked away for 4 years, you know, of school? I did school for 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe locked away in the kitchen. No, I'm gonna bring it up front. Cook in front of you and entertain. So that's my thing, you know.
100%. Because like you also, you know, a lot of what you do as well is, you know, you deal with a lot of pro athletes.
Yeah.
And cook for them and whatnot. So like, what goes into like the mindset behind that of like, hey, I got to make sure, you know, this guy might need some more whatever protein, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I still got to make it look good and the whole thing. So like, what's your mindset going into?
That's the tricky part. Because most of these guys have a nutritionist that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be telling me like, okay, this guy should be having 9 ounces of protein, a cup of grains, and a cup of rice. Or quinoa, whatever grain is, right?
Quinoa.
he always
gives it to me
because
I love quinoa.
Superfood, man. And at times, these guys get bored. They want to eat like what they want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to, you know, stay on track because if they're gaining weight, they're going to hit me up like, chef, I'm gaining weight or I'm losing weight and I'm not maintaining, you know. So the nutritionist is going to come to me because I'm the guy who's cooking for the guy. Yo, what's going on here? Cut back in this. I'm like, well, sometimes they want a cheat meal, right? They want all the pasta and all the cream sauce, which you should get one a week, right? I'm just saying not going to eat healthy for all this time. But 100%. It's tricky cooking for these guys the same thing over and over. You got to change up at times.
It's funny you say cream sauce because, like, we eat the same meal
every game.
And for me, I eat chicken Alfredo, which is probably the worst thing you could probably eat before a game, but it's like super heavy, like whatever it may be. I only eat one meal a day for like the game day, so it's got to be heavier, it's got to be whatever. But like, I know our goalie, he's very fit, like he likes like his thing and how many calories and whatnot, and I'm like, I just put probably 3,000 calories into my body. I'm just ready to play. But
yeah, same with Diggs. Like when I was cooking for him when I was here, like every game day, but like before the game, he'd be like, yo, I want pasta. I'm like, pasta? It was all the boys are over. We eating pasta. I always want pasta. I never get it. But I don't know much about football. I play soccer. That's my sport. You know what I mean? So.
But that's how we are too. Like, and it's funny because like V, our goalie, he'll watch guys put Alfredo and he'll just be shaking his head. And he'd be like, man,
How do you put that in your body?
No more Alfredo, man. Yeah. You had a game in like.
Is there at least some broccoli in the Alfredo? Is there some broccoli
in
Alfredo?
I mean, I think there's broccoli on the side. You can throw it in a little
on the side. Yeah, so it's an option.
Yeah, yeah. But we're all very different. Like, it's crazy to watch because, like, I don't understand how you only eat one meal before a game where, like, you're burning probably 1,000 to 1,200 calories out shoot around and then at least 2,500 to 3,000 at night. Yeah. And you're only putting in maybe 1,500 calories in your body all day.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, for me, I got to eat breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I got to, you know, go to shoot around, come back, eat lunch, right? Go home, chill for a bit, eat another lunch.
Do you meal prep?
No, but I probably should for game days. But honestly, my fiance Fee,
yeah,
she's cooking for me. So she knows what I like before the game. She has a little crock pot cooking up.
She's always getting me right.
So, you know, I always appreciate that.
Are there any athletes that are really picky? I know for myself, I used to be picky when I was younger. Now I'm like, whatever, I'll eat whatever. That being said, I'm pretty superstitious about what I like to eat before a game.
Yeah.
But you kind of mentioned there are guys that are, they like their cheap meals, they like whatever. But specifically, like, are there a lot of picky athletes that you deal with?
You trying to get me in trouble?
Yeah. You don't have to say names.
You know, I wouldn't say picky. It's just more like dietary restriction, right?
Yeah.
Because some of them can't have, like, olive oil. They have to have avocado oil or no dairy, no gluten. So I can't just cook a big pot of food and dish it up for everyone, for all the 12 guys when I was cooking for them. Like, everything got to be tailored for this person. No butter in this person's meal. It's a lot of work, you know what I mean? But it's so rewarding, like, to see them reach your goals. And, like, it's like when they call me at times and, like, yo, chef, you know, I'm meeting my goal that I'm trying to get to and all this stuff. It feels good inside, like, yo, I help him get to his goal, you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
big time.
It's kind of tricky when you have to deal with all the dietary restriction, which that's why they hire a private chef, right?
Yeah.
So we can figure it out.
100%, man. And that's like, it's crazy to hear because, like, even when me and you talk about it, it's like you cook for so many different guys and athletes, and to see you balance it is really dope to see. Who are some of the guys that maybe people don't know that you cook for? Not that you got to mention if you don't feel comfortable with that, but who are some of the guys that people really don't know that you've worked with before?
You know, it's crazy because my life is not a secret, so everything is on social media. So anybody I cook for, people know about it. If they don't see it, they heard about it in a paper somewhere.
Yeah.
But I cook for a bunch of, like, Broncos player.
Okay.
Because when they come to town, I do caterings for them all the time, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And they wanted to fly me to their Christmas party like 2 years ago, like private jet and all that. But I had a commitment to do like an engagement like party and I couldn't cancel that. I'm like, yo, it's only six people though, you know?
Yeah.
I want to go on a private jet. But I'm like, I'm not doing my clients like that. But cook for players all over. Like, remember Vontae that just passed away recently? Mm. He was my very first guy. So he opened the door to all these players. Wow. Like, when I met him and he, you know, retired, flying me to Miami to do his events for him, I meet all these players from his events. Then they started flying me to wherever they live to do events for them too. So I pretty much cook for a lot of people, man.
That's awesome.
Hockey players too, meal prep for those guys.
Some of the Sabres guys?
Yeah.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
You're such a big name and you've grown and you've done such a great job. Like, is there a person that you could kind of name that's like your biggest person you've cooked for?
Biggest. You know, Diggs is big time, right? Von Miller is big time. Yeah. Josh, big time. Cook for, you know, in home and stuff. Odell Beckham, though, is like big time, big time.
Yeah.
We say that, right?
OBJ's a man. Yeah,
yeah, he's a guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you guys are the guys too, I'm just saying, you know.
He's a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, Conway, those guys, Governor.
Are there any that you have on your list that you would love to?
To cook for?
That's like on your bucket list.
You know what's weird? Like Gordon Ramsay.
Okay.
You know Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Big time, right?
Yeah.
I love the guy, man. I'm not a fanboy, but it's just like,
yeah,
that guy, he can cook.
Yeah.
He teach me how to cook by watching his videos, you know what I mean?
That's
so
sweet.
I'm like, you
that's
know what?
Awesome.
I'd love to cook for Gordon Ramsay one day. And of course, DJ Khaled, that boy, he's a foodie.
Yeah.
And Rick Ross, man, I love them guys, man. Those guys motivate me every day, man. It's like to see the life they live. That's why I trick you at times because I'm around these guys every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
See the big cars and the this and the that. And you're like, you want that too.
Yeah.
You got to stay focused because you'd make a decision that you're going to regret.
Dude.
Which I've seen so much because somebody's younger rookie, right? They see the way the big dogs living and they are on it every day. So it's like, yo, I want that too.
Yeah.
But then they get these cars and they can't pay for meal prep. I'm like, yo, you have all this bling and car, you can't pay for meal prep because they're trying to keep up with the big dogs, you know, stay focused, you know?
Yeah. That's that athlete energy right there, though, right? Like, and I notice it's funny because, you know, and I know that you have that same mindset of like, you know, always trying to reach the top. And you even talked about like being like cooking for Chef Ramsay or whoever it is, right? Yeah. There's always those goals, and that's very similar for us. Like, there's always like the next level that we're trying to get to. For you, like, what's the mindset like, you know, trying to always better yourself and better your businesses and stuff like that?
It's just like I work on myself night and day every day, right? I get up early, like at 3 o'clock, and, you know, start, you know, answering my Instagram DMs, emails, reading recipe book, practicing stuff. I go to the gym like 4 days a week. My man, Cool, my trainer, personal trainer, kick my ass.
Gets you right.
Yeah, get me right, man. But it's just working on myself because I'm not from here, as you know that. I'm from Jamaica. So when I came here, I feel like I was behind on so much, you know what I mean? Like, I never seen American food and French cuisine. I grew up on this smaller hill, no electric, no running water. So it's like, I didn't have much growing up. Yep. I walk, barefoot. I bathe in the river with crocodiles every day. So when I come here now, I'm like, yo, we in America. I flip a switch, I get light. I turn the water on, there's different temperatures. I'm like, what? Why should I waste time?
Yeah.
So that's why I grind every day because I'm like, there's so much opportunity here.
No, it's...
I just want to make use of it, you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
100%. And we're going to get a little bit more into that right after this break. Welcome back. And, you know, Chef, we got to talk about this. You just mentioned this so calmly that, you know, you're running around with crocodiles back home in Jamaica. Expand on that a little bit more, you know, what it was like, you know, growing up and you know, where your roots are and what life was like, man. Because that you can't just say that and we can't just go back to it.
You know, life was crazy and fun as a kid growing up. As I mentioned, I grew up on this little hill called Bratz Hill. That's where the name for the restaurant come from. You know, six houses, no electric, no running water, everything done outside, you know. There's like 23 of us living in one house. Can you imagine that?
No
bathrooms, you have to go to the bushes and all that fun, crazy stuff. There's like 7 of us in one bed. You know, some is on the ground on cardboard, and we rotate, you know. Like, if I sleep on the ground tonight, tomorrow night, I ain't sleeping on the ground, I'm going in the bed, you know what I mean? But it was fun and crazy. We have to walk miles to get water every day. And that's why I'm like, when I come here, I'm like, this is easy. So my mom used to have a cook shop. That's where the love for cooking developed. It's like a little takeout spot, right? And I used to help her every day in the cook shop, and that's where it started. And she left Jamaica when I was 15. I took over the cook shop. Started cooking for the neighborhood folks. And, you know, that's, I came here when I was 20 and wanted to be a chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What brought you to Buffalo?
What brought me to Buffalo? So I have an option to choose either California or Buffalo. You know, my mom was in San Diego at the time. My sister was living there. I'm like, there's no snow in San Diego and I experienced something different. And let me tell you, after the first 2 years, I'm like, you can take this snow thing back, man. This thing is no joke. Socks wet, shoes wet, at the bus stop waiting in the bus. I ride bicycle for 2 years, up and down. Oh, man. Dennis was my first job, Dennis in Delaware. They teach me all about American food, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I never seen pancake a day in my life. No moons over Miami. You didn't have that stuff, you know what I mean? Country fried steak. I'm like, what's all this stuff? I didn't know the difference between bacon and ham. I always get that mixed up.
Right.
But it's just like, I just work on myself night and day, every day, practicing. until I get to this point, because that's why I don't take no crap from nobody, because I work for this, you know what I mean? Like, coming here, I didn't know anything. It's just like, I couldn't even speak English.
Yeah.
And I have to work on myself. When I was in school at ECC, I went to ECC too. I was a weird guy in school because I couldn't understand what was going on, and nobody wanted to be in the group with me because I talk weird and I can't, I don't know what's going on because I'm not from here. And that's just, it was tough, but you know, I fight through every day, you know?
Yeah. And it makes you who you are today.
Oh yeah.
And that's just part of life and growing with it. You mentioned earlier, you were a soccer guy.
Yeah.
Obviously you were growing up playing soccer. Was there any other sports? Or was it just soccer for you?
And cricket.
Cricket.
Soccer and cricket. So it's funny because my friends always like, you know, passing me by going playing soccer. And I'd be in the cook shop with my mom. Like, I don't want to be in this space. I want to go play soccer with my friends.
Yeah.
But I have to like make money to provide for the family. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just five sisters and my mom and no dad, you know what I mean? So my mom is like my everything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're see pretty big mama boys as well.
Yeah. I see the struggles, man. She's been through with us. So that's why I grind so hard, because it's full time for her to relax now. She would still work two jobs. She worked in both restaurants. I'm like, yo, take the day off. I'll still pay you, man. Just relax. But that's just the way she is.
Man, moms, man, they have a special place in all of our hearts. Yes. You know, watching my mom go through what she went through growing up. And when I say that, mostly just dealing with me. Because I was probably her biggest pain to deal with. You know, it's awesome for me personally. The relationship that I have with my mom now is just... it's so special. And, you know, I apologize to her probably once a week for how crappy of a kid I was.
As you grow up, you start to realize, like, goodness, you got away with this. You got away with this. Yeah. Like,
wait until you so have patient. Kids. You'll see, like, your mom is going to look at you like, that was you? Don't tell me that was me.
I know.
These kids are crazy.
Yeah. It's funny. But you talked about, obviously, liking soccer and cricket and stuff like that. Do you ever picture yourself, like, if you weren't a chef, like, are those the sports you would want to play professionally? Or, like, is there something, like, besides being a chef, like, outside of, like, cooking and whatnot, that you're like, oh, like, this could be my future kind of thing?
You guys asking the right questions. You guys, it seems like we planned this. What's going on? So, back in Jamaica, I was going to be, like, a professional soccer player or a cricket player, too, because as a kid, that's all we do, just play sports. Especially where I grew up, because there's not now there's no playground. We swim and we play sports, and that's it, because there's nothing else around, you know what I mean? So I would definitely be like a soccer player professionally or a cricket player.
Yeah.
I tried plumbing, that didn't work for me. The first day on the job, I was like, man, that's crazy. I tried, you know, my man was putting his hand in some stuff, and I'm like, yo. I need clean fingernails so I can eat dumplings, man. I can't be doing that. Try electrical, like, for a day or two. I'm like, no, it's not mine. It's not for me at all. Like, what do I love to do? I'm like, I love to cook. And that was it.
Wow. That's awesome. Crazy. Yeah, I mean, dealing with plumbing takes a little bit too much crap, if you ask me. It's a lot to deal with. So far in your career, what would you say is, like, your biggest achievement overall?
Man, biggest achievement. I feel like it's like expanding every time. Like, my biggest was, like, you know, opening three restaurants, you know, and CBS this morning reached out to me when, like, 3 years ago, I was one of the top chefs in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, me? I'm like the kid from Jamaica that nobody know, right? And they want me to come on their show. I'm like, that was a big one for me. Did some Food Network stuff, cooked for some big time people. But the recent one was a Ram commercial. Like, I'm a big Mopar guy. I love Ram, you know, man. That's my truck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they, like, you know, had me do a national commercial for them. I'm like, yo. So all of those was on my goal list, right? Look at them every day. I'm like, yo, I want to do this. Because as we all know, there's so much distraction out there, right?
Yeah.
But if you have a vision and you can see it every day, like, you allow it to be focused. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing. That's on my goal list. Sometimes things come my way, I'm like, this is not on my list. My goal is I'm just going to, like, kick it off to the side and stay focused, you know?
You always, I mean, I've known you for a few years now, and you've always got the flyest trucks. Every time we're driving by, I'm like, yo, chef's looking good. Same thing, you pulled up here, you got the TRX?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Was it Satan Black?
Yep.
Looks clean. What?
Gotta keep it clean.
Where did the love for, I don't know if it's just trucks, but cars in general come from?
I love cars, like, you love automobiles. Like, the love is just like, I have a bicycle all my life, you know what I mean? Mm. And it was clean too. Like, ask them boys that I grew up with, I would stop, like, you know, halfway on my journey, I would stop and I'd clean my wheels and always keep it clean, you know? But I'm like, I'm in America now. Like, I like nice stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
The opportunity is here for us to have nice stuff. So, it's love cars, man.
Are you always switching? Like, I know, like, Josh and I have had probably three, four cars each in the past couple yeah. years, and like, do you like get sick of one and you're like, I want the next one, or like, is there one like that you're just like, this is my dream car? I feel like I always say this, like, my next car is like, oh, this is my dream car, and then I get it and I'm like, okay,
what can I do
to kind of put myself in the right spot to get the next car? Like, are you in the same way?
You know what, yes, the Ram before this was like a Ram Sport. It was like my dream truck at the time. Then I saw the TRX, I'm like, you kidding me? Like, that's like a Rolls Royce of Ram, you know what I mean? Like, fast, loud, crazy. Strong. Which, you know, I've taken for a ride before.
Man, some, dude, I have even
that thing launched like a rocket. Like, so I'm like, but I'm kind of stuck on the TRX now. Cause it's just, but then I want a Maybach and I want the Rolls Royce too. So I'm like, yes, I'm going to get them though.
Yeah,
like,
why not? That's your goal, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's always like that, right? It's always like, oh man, I got it. But then it's like, you know, once you got the Rolls Royce, you'd be like, oh, that's sweet, but like, I made that, you know?
Yeah,
I
mean, the wife think I'm just so crazy and just extra. I'm like, it is what it is, we'll figure it out. Oh. I'm like, I want the Maybach as a daily driver. It's like, it's too much. I'm like, it's okay, we're going to get there.
Oh, they're always saying something about something. I tell you, it's funny you say that. Like, anything we get, or I mean, specifically, I should speak for myself, but like, you want something, you get something, and they're like, oh, like, you could spend your money on something else, like, better, like, and they're always talking about something that involves them, right? Like, it's never like something better. You know what they're talking about. Yeah, exactly. It's funny. Yeah, we can get both, okay? Like,
it's makes you work harder.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you work harder, man. I feel like that's like, back in the day during COVID, when we were trying to figure out everything and like literally in the same house. And like, we're just like, our girls are always like, yo, like, you guys gonna go golfing again? Or are you guys gonna go in the pool again? And or whatever it is.
Having a weight room in the living
room. Yeah, yeah. They're like, what's going on? And I know you had an interesting, you know, journey with everything. And a lot of it happened during COVID.
Yeah.
Right. So what happened, and, you know, what made you kind of venture off on your own and figure things out through that time?
Yeah, I was at Fisher Price. Mm-hmm. It's like a dream job for me at the time, because it's like, I wasn't making toys. I was just like, you know, the general manager and executive chef for them, right? And COVID hit, because the job was like, you know, from like 7 to 2, no weekends. I was loving it. Mm-hmm. I was done at 2:30. I'm like, I got a cleaning crew coming. I didn't have to do much after. And COVID shut it down. So that's pretty much how I start my own thing. COVID kind of forced me to go out there. So I started doing like in-home dinner parties, like, restaurants were closed, so I'm like, these people want to eat good still, right? So I start going to people's home, cooking for them, and that's where it take off.
Did somebody reach out to you about that, or is that just in your head that, like, hey, like, people still like to eat, let's start reaching out to people? Like,
when I was at Fisher Price, I was doing, like, you know, private chef stuff on the side. It's like Saturday and, you know, Sunday thing. So I'm like, I can do this full time now, because I know the need is there for it.
Yeah.
And restaurants are closed, so I must take advantage of that. And I was in somebody else's house every night, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, I mean, we dealt with a ton of, like, problems during COVID with still trying to play. And, like, we had to get tested all the time. And, you know, that thing was going up your nose. It was a pain. Was there any struggles trying to work around, like, regulations and all that stuff? While trying to, you know, serve food and stuff, like, how was that? Was that difficult for you to be able to do all that and still try to kind of worry about COVID in the back too? Like,
oh, yes. Like, my big thing was, like, wearing a mask and, like, being a chef, something burning in the oven, you're not going to smell it. You know what I mean? It's just like everything work in the kitchen. Your eyes for the appearance of stuff, the smells and all that stuff. And with me cooking for the players, I was at Diggs' house every day pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. And my wife was just so nervous. I was nervous too that I'm going to give somebody COVID because, you know, give a player COVID, like give Diggs COVID.
Right. It's a problem.
They know that I'm always here, so like it's me, you know what I mean? So all the boys normally come over for dinner too. So that was my biggest fear. Like, yo, I hope I don't give any of these people COVID. You know what I mean? Because I'm there cooking for them every day.
Yeah, no, big time. That was, trust me, there was so many different situations that we had when we were playing in a bubble at the time. So we got flown out to Utah and literally we're in like a quarantined bubble in a hotel. And like,
interesting.
One guy got it. And all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, he's got it, man. Like you gotta stay away from him or make sure you weren't with him in the last 24, 40. And it was just like, it just created this havoc.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's crazy that it was 4 years ago. Like, I don't.
4 years ago?
Right?
Crazy. We just brought that up.
Yeah. 2019, right?
Oh, that's crazy.
So like, and then I mean, obviously it lasted for a while, but you know, time flies. But hey, at the end of the day, we survived it. I don't know how.
Yeah, I've seen, like, we're watching the news since y'all bad stuff is happening, and like you're just so scared, like, yo, you doing what happened to you. I remember going to the grocery store and come back home. My wife is like, take your clothes off right there. I'm like, okay. And she's like a stick and just like tripped on the stairs. She sprayed me down. I'm like, yo, like, yeah, it was kind of scary.
All right, just wanted to take a second. You know, we're super excited that you guys are listening and watching the podcast. If you're not already, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channels, All Bandit Socials, both myself and Dane on Instagram. And make sure you're listening wherever you guys get your podcasts.
Make sure to tune in. Welcome back. It's time for All Milk, No Beef. As a chef, we're going to ask you some fun questions.
Okay.
Do's and don'ts for a restaurant. Do you want me to start off?
Yeah, I mean, because it's funny because I feel like there's, like, obviously etiquette, like the restaurant world is a cool place to be. But there's a ton of different things, you know, I'm sure that maybe either grind your gears or you're like, what are you doing? Like, what's the thought process there? So that's kind of where these questions come from.
First question, how should someone order their steak?
Oh, man. I would say medium. Medium rare is my, you know, preference when I go out. But sometimes a little too, you know, I would say more on the rare side for people. So I would say medium is a solid steak to eat, especially like a tenderloin.
Yeah.
Mm. I would say medium. But medium rare, I prefer. But some people, like my family, Jamaican people, they want that thing dead. Like, yeah. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, let's try medium. And they're stuck on medium for now. So.
Really? Yeah, because yeah. I was going to say, like, my mom's the same way. And she's from Trinidad Tobago. She's got that Caribbean blood in her.
Yeah.
And she's like, mm-mm.
She want that thing great.
I want that thing literally just chewing, like,
for 10 minutes.
Chewy and, like, just dead on the plate. Like, she's not about that. Do you ever, as a chef, like when the order comes in like that, are you like, you want this well done?
You sure?
Are you used to it?
I'm used to it. Like, I'm a people pleaser. Like, it's like, whatever you want, I'm here to cook for you. You're paying me to cook, so I'm going to do whatever you want. Some chefs who get so offended.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm like, no, yo, they're paying you to cook. Right. Like, it's whatever they want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's a good way of thinking about it.
Like, 100%. They keep the light on in this place, not you. Because they got to come to support you for you to keep the light on. So whatever you want, I'll make it happen for you. Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, you trust me, right? They're like, yeah. No, let me make you a good steak. Let's get another medium. I'm like, just close your eyes and eat it.
Literally.
Oh, that's incredible. What's the worst thing someone can do when ordering in a restaurant?
What's the worst thing they could do when ordering in a restaurant?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know if it's like the order itself, if they're trying to like sub out different things that you like, you put all this work into putting a dish together and they're like, take out the couscous and can you put in like chicken fingers or something like.
Yeah, I've got some weird requests at times. Like, I'm of that Bernays sauce, but I don't eat egg yolk. Can you take the egg yolk over? I'm like, so people don't understand at times. So I have to educate them. I'm like, no, it's like it made from egg yolks and butter. So like it combined together. But you know, it's one of those things, I'm flexible. Mm. So it comes back to like whatever you want me to do, I'll make it happen, because making my guests happy is like my number one priority. Like, listen, I'm gonna make you happy. And if you're having a bad day, I'm going to cheer you up too. I do whatever
I can. No judgment.
I'll come rub your shoulders for you. I don't know whatever I have to do, I'll make it happen. You know, but
I wish our parents were like that growing up. They're like, no, you're eating that. I don't care what you think.
I got a phobia of cucumbers because, and I was probably being stubborn, but my mom was like, yo, you ain't leaving this table.
Yeah.
And I was just eating it and crying at the same time.
But what's something someone can order that would annoy a chef?
Same kind of question, I guess, but
yeah, somewhere. What could annoy a chef? Let me see.
Like, nothing seems to annoy you.
Yeah,
nothing.
I feel like you're such a like a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah, I'm just like I'm just a guy, because when you're an entrepreneur, right, it's different from like just be a chef and working with someone, right?
You know what? I'm gonna change it.
Yeah.
What annoys you for your kids' eating purposes? Because there's got to be something there.
Oh, my kids. So they. Like, for example, if I make, like, real mac and cheese, I'm talking my nieces and nephews, too. Mm. They don't want that. Like, nope, this is not mac and cheese. I'm like, it is, though. It's real cheese sauce and real noodles. Nope, they want the Kraft mac and cheese. So that's, like, that annoyed the crap out of me. I'm like, yo, this is what real mac and cheese is. Nope, I don't want that. That's not mac and cheese.
Like, I'm making this better for you.
Because they're not putting the lights on, you know? You have to. Like.
My kids are tough, man. Yeah, they're... We would go places, like we went to this one restaurant the other day, and my daughter likes scallops, that's her thing, right? And the scallops come out, there's like no sear in it. They want to send it back. No, this is not cut, this is not scallop. There's no crispy edges, there's no sear in it. I'm like, yo, you're 5 and 6 years old. Like.
Yeah, and they want to send it back.
Yeah, they want to like, nope, that's not the scallop I know and love. So I'm like, it's kind of tough when your daddy's a chef, when they eat like that, when they go out, they're like, no kings. I don't want that. That have no flavor and they have no chill.
Yeah.
They say whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like chill. Sometimes we just want to like disappear in the seat, like,
That's incredible.
They're telling the server, like, hey man, like you overcooked the steak, you know, not enough seasoning on it.
Yeah. They want to
put some more butter on it, please. Yeah. And
they want their medium rare steak, man.
And they're probably like, my dad's a chef. Like, he knows. Like, so you better change
They brag right? all the time. Like, you know who my dad cooked for? I'm like, come on, let's not do this right now. Like, you know who my daddy is? I'm like, we're not doing that right now. There's something else, man.
And I guess this one kind of goes hand in hand. But so what's, I guess, like the strangest or like the weirdest food request someone has asked for, even if it's a combo of food?
You know, the weirdest one I've ever gotten was this lady. She said she want short ribs. Cause I do this amazing short rib. It's like red wine braised for a couple of hours, just fall apart, a rich red wine sauce with some like creamy mashed potatoes and asparagus, all that fun stuff, right? Nice little microgreens on top.
Yeah.
But she said she want short ribs, but she want with a cream sauce, like a white milky cream sauce. So I'm like, okay. Me being the guy that please everyone, right? I made this happen. So I'm thinking about it. I'm like, with a cream sauce? Like, I don't see that tasting good at all. I'm trying to walk through the process in my head, right? Then I call her up. I'm like, normally they submit all this stuff. When I look at it, I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, so where have you had this before? I never had it before. I saw it in Pinterest. I'm like, oh, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Somebody probably made the picture just for a show, but... Yeah. I can't see that tasting good like a milky cream sauce with short ribs.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I'm like, what about me making my short ribs for you? You're going to love it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Boy. The milky cream sauce short ribs wasn't going to be it, man.
Should have just thrown it on the side and been like, listen, go for it.
I'm like, I can make you a little sample so you can try what I'm going to make mine. You know what I mean?
But, yeah, you're going to enjoy it, though. You're going to enjoy it. Because honestly, man, like, your food's some of the best that I've ever had.
I appreciate that.
And
then,
going back to, I don't think it was COVID. It was the blizzard.
Yeah.
When we were all stuck and me and Fee were living underneath you and you came down, gave us a little knock with a little present full of years. It was the Rasta pasta.
Yep. We got Rasta pasta. We got, there's a few different things. Yeah.
Unreal, man. Yeah, unreal. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if anyone hasn't been to, you know, Bratz Hill or the Playing Society, they got to go because it's unreal. Got to give that a little plug.
Easily. Top three meals I've ever had in my life. Yes, dude. It's crazy.
Unreal stuff.
Oh, man. Appreciate it, man.
100%. We'll be right back and talking a little more. So I got to ask, obviously, you know, you're going out to a bunch of different restaurants all the time, trying other people's foods. And we talked about obviously cooking for your kids as well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that they like it. Do they ever give you problems about the food that you make? Are they starting to like kind of judge you and be like, hey, Dad, you might want to throw in a little scallops here. Yes. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, my son, he's the one, like, he think he's a food critic. But my daughter, she want to be a chef. It's funny, right?
Yeah.
She calls herself Chef Nina. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. My son would take the fork and, like, in the sauce and taste it. Might not just eat the food. Just stop it. Like, yeah. We're going to eat today. It's okay. And so my daughter make eggs one day, and she put a lot of salt in there. And he was trying to be nice to her, right? Said, Nina, the eggs are good. They're cooked perfectly, nice and creamy, which are a little salty. But it's good, though. But, like, they're little food critics, man. So at times when I cook, and I don't know, like, if it's not, like, the best cut of steak, could the wife get it from somewhere else, you know what I mean, other than Sloan Market, you know? So, you know, get groceries or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
The kids will tell her, like, this steak is chewy. Mom, this steak is not good steak. I'm like, yes. I wonder where she got it from. Well, they're funny, man.
What's their favorite meal?
So, believe it or not, my daughter, she loves scallop. My son like rack of lamb and steak. Like sometimes they'll be like, I'm craving a steak and scallop right now.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm like, really?
And how old are they?
My daughter is 4. Yeah. My son is 6.
I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah. Steak and scallop. And it's just like, this stuff we eat every day, that's what they used to. So that's what they want. So they hate the school food. Like, nope. They dread going to school to eat the food. I'm like, yo, it's school. I got to eat it. But when they used to like, you know, delicious, creamy pasta and amazing steak and scallop, it's just hard, you know, not to want to crave it every day.
I get that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You're cooking all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
So every day.
When you get some time alone to yourself, right? What's the meal that you're cooking? Are you taking your time and finessing something up?
Or you gonna make these people judge me now, man?
I gotta know, man. Or are you just like, you know what? PB&J or something.
I'm never a cereal guy. I never grew up eating cereal because I didn't have cereal, you know. But ramen noodles.
That's your thing.
That's my go-to.
Yeah.
And I'm not shy about it either. Because after a long day of cooking like all this like French cuisine or Italian or Jamaican cuisine, like I go home because I've been picking at it all day too. I'm like, ramen noodles, crack a few eggs in it, some scallions. The kids have some hot dog in the fridge is going in there too. It's whatever is going in the fridge is going in there, you know. So ramen noodles is my go-to. Like all day.
Are you eating a lot of the food that you're cooking for others?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. So it's like I always order like at least one extra of everything I'm cooking so the staff and I we can eat. And plus I'm cooking all day, so I'm constantly tasting what I go.
Right.
If I make soup, it's gonna be a lot of soup. So I'm just like eating the soup or eating mashed potatoes with something. But my diet is just not the best, man, because I just eat the most random stuff. I got a Jamaican restaurant, like the Rasta pasta, all that stuff. And me trying to stay in shape and have all of that in front of me. It's healthy, delicious food. Like the rice and all this is all natural. Jerk chicken is great because it's jerk. It's not fried, you know what I mean? But when you come on to like the cream sausage and the pasta, which is delicious, it's made with coconut milk and all that stuff, but it's just how much of that you can eat and still perform at your best, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
It's good stuff, though.
Not to get a little weird here, but you got one last meal to eat before, you know, it's a wrap. What's the meal going to be?
Last meal. Can it be like a few on one plate? Because it's my last meal, so man, I gotta have to have a few, like a big plate like this size. Yeah. Take a little sip on my chocolate.
you can make it whatever you want. And you,
it's good stuff.
I mean, you could have yourself cook it. You could have someone else cook it. You could do whatever you gotta do.
I gotta say, it gotta be some lamb in there, some scallop, some oxtail, curry chicken, because the first thing my mom teaches me to make is curry chicken.
Yeah.
Some rice and peas. And some short ribs. I'll be like, yes, take me now. Happy and full, baby.
What do you think your most signature meal is?
Signature. I would say my pan-seared scallop with bourbon bacon jam and butternut squash puree. People love that thing. And my Allen ceviche, very popular. Steak apua,
is the list popular goes on, too. I'm sure.
Yeah, the list goes on. It's
the,
just
the
like
lamb chops are banging too.
Yeah. The rack of lamb, we do like a cranberry and pistachio crusted rack of lamb, which I created that one too. So I'm very proud of that one. People love it.
Yeah. No, 100%. Man, honestly, it's been great talking with you, man.
Obviously,
you know, you're such a genuine dude and great energy. So it was awesome to kind of have you on the show and see what, you know, your outtake on everything is. So, appreciate you again, you know, Bratz Hill, the Playing Society. If you guys haven't been, check it out. It's unreal. But yeah, again, big thank you for coming. Man. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Cheers. Yeah. This stuff is good. Can you get me a big jug of this for the kids?
We might have to, man. We might have to. Big cheers right here.
Yeah, like you said, we can't thank you enough, because obviously we know you're busy. You wake up at 3 in the morning grinding,
baby. Why not?
Pumping them weights. I see you
it
over
makes,
there.
It makes us want to be better as well. You obviously have your goals. Our goal is to win a championship. Your goal is to be the best you can, and you can keep doing that. And it makes us kind of want to get better. And again, we can't thank you guys. Thank you enough for being on here.
Yeah, congrats on the championship too, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Big time.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We'll have to get you out to a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's do it, man. The kids love stuff like that too. It was like, you guys mostly playing Saturdays for the most part, right?
Yeah
I'm
tough.
Always working. We'll figure it out, man.
we'll get you a day off soon, man. Yeah, we'll get you a day off.
Thank you.
Big thank you, our audience, for tuning in, obviously, to the latest episode of Dane and Josh Show, presented by Milk for Health. Big shout out to you guys. Best chocolate milk, best milk in the game. If you guys haven't already, be sure to make sure to either, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel, whatever social posts, you know, turn on the notifications, do everything that you got to do to not miss another show. Because we're here, we're having fun with it, and enjoying our time. So thank you, and we'll see you guys next time.
Let's go!